Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
And the winner is the Book of Mormon!
I think the night would be a big disappointment if we didn't thank our co-writer who passed away, Mr. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon religion. He couldn't be here tonight, but you did it, Joseph! You got the Tony!
I'm someone who believes that you approach issues using faith and reason. And if your faith is pure and your reason is right, they'll end up in the same place.
It's very hard to avoid giving youth the impression that if their pastor is the junior varsity shepherd, that they aren't somehow the junior varsity sheep.
Hi, this is Derek from Seward, Nebraska. When I hiked in the Marin County Headlands and overlooked the Golden Gate Bridge, I was listening to Issues Etc.
Something seems to be missing from these stories. I've been following these stories for the better part of 10 years. It started with just kind of a little group of women who thought that they ought to be able to serve as priests in the Roman Catholic Church. It was just rumblings. Then they found several bishops who would do real ordinations, or at least they believed them to be real ordinations to the priesthood. They went out, I believe, in Germany, out into the middle of the Danube River. And there was an ordination held there, and it began something of a movement. Now it's calling itself Roman Catholic Women Priests. One word, women priests. And it claims to have legitimacy as a female branch of the priesthood in the Roman Catholic Church. Now, that's the story as far as we get it in the media, but is something missing from this story? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Thursday afternoon, the 16th of June. Terry Mattingly joins us from Scripps Howard News Service to talk about media coverage of the Roman Catholic Church and women priests. We'll get a little of your comments, questions, show suggestions from the Issues Etc. comment line after that, and then we'll round off this Thursday afternoon's program getting a summer movie review with Brian Godawa, author of the book Word Pictures, Knowing God Through Story and Imagination, and Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest, director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
What's missing, I guess, is the best question to ask here, in the coverage of Roman Catholic women priests?
Well, there are patterns that show up, and these ordinations have been getting a remarkable amount of coverage, and anyone who goes to Get Religion and does a search for the phrase women priests without a space in the middle, just women priests, just that title, is going to see all kinds of coverage of this. And what's really amazing is the degree to which we continue to see the same mistakes occur over and over. And to some degree, a lot of it can be summed up with the fact that the Roman Catholic Church is not a democracy, and that to ordain someone as a priest, a bishop has to be in communion with the Church of Rome, which is kind of logical, right? And for that bishop to be a bishop, this person needs to have been consecrated by three bishops who also in communion with the Church of Rome, and Rome agrees with that. Okay? We clear so far?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, that's pretty simple math. It takes three bishops who are in communion with Rome to make a bishop. Then you have to have a valid bishop to make a valid priest. Okay, that's simple. Well, in the case of the women priests, you have an historic event where, very mysteriously, quite a couple of years ago, there were some women who were supposedly ordained in Europe And nobody really knows who the bishops were that ordained them. And they certainly were not doing this with the permission of the Roman Catholic Church and thus in communion with the Roman Catholic Church. So you could say that three bishops of dubious connection to the Roman Catholic Church irregularly ordained three women as priests. The problem then is that those women then decided to start making their own bishops, which means, so you have people who are not, in Rome's eyes, not even ordained as priests, then decide to create female bishops, which is, you know, an even tougher row to hoe that you get bishops out of this situation. So all I'm trying to say is that there are basic historical facts about Roman Catholic Church law that consistently don't get covered in these stories. Okay? Now, the next fact is this whole idea that is that these women are Catholics because they say they're Catholics, which Molly likes to say is similar to me declaring that I am a member of the New York Yankees. Now, I can declare all I want that I am a member of the New York Yankees, but the simple fact is that I am not a member of the New York Yankees, right? No matter what I say, because it's the Yankees who decide whether or not I am a member of the New York Yankees. And I wouldn't want to play for the Yankees anyway. I'm an Orioles fan. That's neither here nor there. Pick the St. Louis Cardinals. Pick the team of your choice. To be a member of the Roman Catholic Church priesthood, it's Rome who gets to decide that. Does that make sense? I right now, here on this radio show, I cannot declare myself a senator from the state of Maryland. I am not in charge of determining that. Yet these stories continue to kind of walk around this issue about whether or not these women are priests in the Roman Catholic Church, and they keep saying that they're leading Roman Catholic masses or that they're leading Roman Catholic rituals or that they say they are Roman Catholics and thus they are. When in the church's view, the minute these women took their orders, they had automatically excommunicated themselves from the Catholic Church through the sheer action of doing that, you know, on top of the fact that Rome doesn't recognize them. So there, it's two strikes, you know, three strikes, however many strikes you want, they're out. So that's the second layer. I'll give you one more, and then we can talk about this. Lately, I have started being intrigued by the fact that reporters are going to these ceremonies and are, in effect, cooperating with the people that do the ceremonies to not betray who the Roman Catholic officials are that are in the room celebrating these ordinations. They're not taking pictures of the crowds. They're not reporting that, say, three members of the Roman Catholic Educational Board of Baltimore were there celebrating, or X number of nuns from local convents were there celebrating. Because the minute these women are outed as being at these ceremonies, they're in trouble with the real Roman Catholic Church. Now, what surprises me is that the press is cooperating with this effort. In a Baltimore story that I wrote about, one of the women, it said that she recently was the campus minister at a Roman Catholic high school that the paper declined to identify. Well, it took me like maybe 10 seconds with Google to find out what school she was at, you know, before she was let go because she announced she wanted to become a woman priest. But she was the campus minister of one of the most influential Catholic high schools in the state of Maryland. And the Baltimore Sun declined to report that.
How do you account for that? You said just a moment ago you're almost convinced there's cooperation here. It is one thing for a journalist or a news organization to protect or keep confidential the name of the identity of a news source, but that's not what's happening here, is it?
Well, but so here's the difference. You're absolutely right. And to some degree, that's my theory. My belief is that they are protecting their sources, but they're protecting their sources for other stories. In other words, let's say if the Baltimore Sun had lots and lots of sources for issues in the chancellery, and in the Roman Catholic hierarchy, and these sources were on the left side of the church. They wouldn't want to get these people thrown out by outing them publicly as supporters of the women's priest movement, would they? Yet it's one thing to protect a source who's giving you information or whatever. It's another thing to protect them when they have publicly shown up in public events, right? In public, sitting in pews, worshiping at altars. Do you get the distinction I'm making? I mean, it's one thing to protect a source who's on the other end of a telephone line. It's another thing to say, I agree not to cover all of the news that's in this public event that I'm at. I've never heard of that. And that's outrageous. This is not a secret covert meeting. This is a public event, and they're not even reporting some of the most newsworthy elements of the event that they're at. I hardly even know what to compare that to.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, more with Terry Mattingly, director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, author of the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. We're talking about media coverage of the Roman Catholic Church and the movement for women priests on this Thursday afternoon, June the 16th. We'll follow the conclusion of our conversation with Terry with a little bit of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. Then we'll get a summer movie review. Brian Gadawa will join us to round off today's program. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. When we come back, so if Terry were the editor and he were instructing the journalist on what to include in coverage of the Roman Catholic Church and the women priests movement, what would his instructions be? Stay tuned.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the Roman Catholic Church and a movement for women priests called Roman Catholic Women Priests. Terry, you mentioned before you're kind of dumbfounded by what's being left out of some of the media coverage of this story, if you were an editor instructing the journalist as to what to further pursue to make this a balanced coverage of the issue, what would your instructions be?
I would first of all say, know your church history. Second, I would say that one of the most newsworthy elements of this story is the degree to which these women are not strange, but actually represent a lively, liberal element of Catholicism in the Baltimore or the Washington, D.C. area. But to show that, we must report what their connections are to the Catholic establishment. That is an important news subject is something that shows how important these women are, and thus we should report it. So if the pews contain church officials, if they contain nuns, if they contain major Catholic educators, if they contain a couple of actual Roman Catholic priests, for all I know, that's factual material about the event. It must be included to give the reader an idea of whether or not this event was important. In other words, we're not going to censor an event that the public could have gotten information from simply by if they had the ability to show up.
You mentioned Molly Hemingway just a moment ago, and one of the things that she points out is that in follow-up stories in the Baltimore area, there is a dearth of, I'm not going to say balance, but kind of seeking comment from the other side. That is,
yeah,
official word from the Roman Catholic Church in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Why is this?
Yeah, it's one thing to just simply quote the canon law and then have the women free say, well, we reject that. That's not quite the same thing as having Catholic women and Catholic men and priests and the bishop or whoever explain in the story why these women are not Catholic priests and turning it into an actual journalistic 50-50 presentation of the debate the women claims exists. Historically speaking, though, the point I'm making is there isn't a debate, really, about whether these women are Roman Catholic priests because the Roman Catholic Church is not a democracy. The Roman Catholic Church gets to determine who a Roman Catholic priest is. What these women are is ministers. They're Protestant ministers in a newly formed kind of semi-Anglican liturgical Lutheran Protestant denomination. And they've started their own line of priests. They've started their own claim to apostolic succession, which, for reasons I've already detailed, does not fit Catholic or Orthodox tradition. That's a good way to compare this, and I don't just say this because I'm an Orthodox Christian. The Roman Catholic Church and Eastern Orthodoxy are currently not in communion with each other. We're in a state of broken communion. But both churches recognize the validity of the other church's bishops and priests. We just don't happen to be in communion. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Nobody questions the historical nature of that apostolic succession. Anglicanism had plenty of valid Catholic apostolic succession bishops when Anglicanism started as a church. Thus, Anglicanism has a right to claim apostolic succession. This is called branch theory. It's one of the things that people refer to with branch theory. So Anglicans can make a claim that they have apostolic succession. The problem is that both Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism says, sorry, y'all broke off and just started your own church, period. You're Anglicans. So if an Anglican minister wants to become an Orthodox priest, they must be ordained because the church does not recognize. If a Catholic priest wanted to become an Orthodox priest, that would be really interesting. I do not know what all Orthodox bishops would require in that circumstance. But the point I'm making is no one would recognize these women as Roman Catholic churches, Roman Catholic priests, other than themselves. And I guess Roman Catholics who disagree with the teachings of their own church and thus want to make the point of recognizing these women as priests, which gets us back to this amazing side of the story. Who are the Roman Catholics in Baltimore who are rebelling against the Roman Catholic Church by recognizing these women as priests, who took communion from their hands, who decided that these sacraments were valid, who was in that sanctuary clapping when they were ordained.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thank you very much for being our guest.
You bet. See you soon.